Whatever you love, you become like. If you, you know, you look at those people who love surfing, after a while they dress like surfers, they have surf shorts, they have surf hair. You go to dog shows, you know, you can see a, like this long poodle dog and the owner does the same thing. You know, they just kind of look like each other. So I tell my wife, don't love our dog too much.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Did you know that when you become a Christian, you are marked, you're branded, and when the world sees that brand, they should be able to tell that you were a follower of Christ? Well, today Pastor Wayne will tell us about that brand. Here he is with a message entitled, A Distinguishing Mark.
It's kind of neat because everybody has their own distinguishing marks, whether it be the costuming that they wear, the culture, the festivals, you know. I'm Japanese, Portuguese, Hawaiian, so I have all kinds of different ethnicities, and I've got people on all sides, and it's just fun to see the distinguishing marks, and you just, it's kind of neat. It's a cultural thing. You know, I was thinking, companies pay billions of dollars to make sure that they keep their distinguishing mark. You know, and so they don't kind of get genericized, and they want to make sure that when you see just like a logo, you know exactly who it is. They're distinguished from everything else. They pay billions of dollars for that. And so, you know, it's sort of like if you see on an athletic jersey, the little swoosh, what does that mean? Yeah, you don't even have to see the words. You just got it. They spent billions of dollars on that just to get to that point. In fact, now people just use initials of their company, and their goal is if you just get the initials and you can say what it is, woohoo, they'll spend millions for that so that you can distinguish them from every other company. For example, if I said the restaurant KFC, what does that stand for? Kentucky Fried Chicken, that's right. If I said the telephone company AT&T, yeah, and I can just say the starting of this restaurant, you'll know it. I won't even just even give you more than two letters, you'll know it. Here, let's finish this one. Mick. See, yeah, I got it. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, they spend literally billions of dollars. And even in fashion places where you buy clothes. Here it is. So you fashion conscious Gen Xers. Banana. Yeah, I was gonna say 19 cents a pound, bananas, but Republic, yeah. Yeah. And then you know when jeans with the red tab is Levi's. You know how much they spend to get you to say exactly what you just said? It's amazing because everything is distinguishable. Everything has its distinguishing characteristics. Reebok has its own distinguishing characteristics, you know, and Vans, and you have all these others. Adidas, even Ross's have their own characteristics. Yeah, you know what it is? Loose stitching. Yeah, they all have, no, just joke. That's my wife's favorite place to shop. She knows when they're bringing in the clothes. I mean, she's there 4:20 in the mornings. Wait, Ava. Won't come. 10 o'clock won't come pretty soon, you know. She knows when they're bringing this stuff in. In fact, she goes to Ross's so often, I don't even like to drive her car anymore. I go by Ross's and it just starts pulling. Ooh, whoa, what is wrong with this car? But Ross, they sell all kinds of stuff. You'd be amazed. You go in there, isn't that right? They sell everything. They have Ross products. They have Ross perfume. They sell Ross Perot. They have anything. Just whatever it is, they sell it. It's amazing. But not only are companies spending billions of dollars to get their mark or their brand, people are marked. People have a you know, when you say their name, there's certain associations that come to your mind. For example, it can be positive or negative. You have if I said the name Dennis Rodman, yeah, ooh, whoa, all of these things are coming in, you know. You know, you have Osama bin Laden or Hugh Hefner. You can get on the positive side, you can say names like Thomas Jefferson or George Washington or Billy Graham, and you think, ah. You have other names. When you say the name, above all names, Jesus Christ, you think, ah. There's certain associations because people are marked as well as companies. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the people of God who are citizens of heaven have a certain distinguishable mark on them. You see, we share the same earth. But on this earth, there are two worlds that intersect and sometime collide. We are born into this world, naturalized citizens, because of the sin of Adam and Eve. When you were born the first time, you're born into this one. But God knew that this world is passing away. There's hope far beyond this world. The Bible says that this will soon be gone. But God knew that those caught in this world would have a different distinguishing mark to them. And they would too pass away with this world. But God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. That faith in him, we then die to the old and are born again into the kingdom of heaven. And by his blood and by his forgiveness and by his grace, we are now born again with a whole new different eternity. Now, here's the thing. When you become a citizen of heaven, the Lord Jesus does not take you immediately into eternity, but he asks us to be carriers or couriers of his message back where two worlds intersect and share the same world. Because there's a bunch of people caught in this world, but they don't know there's a way home. We don't have that much time, he says, but please tell them. Now, let me ask you, who better to reach cancer patients with compassion and advice and an embrace? Who better to reach cancer patients than one who himself or herself had cancer, was then healed or delivered? Now they know what these people are going through. They, with great compassion, want to go. They understand the lonely nights. They remember when somebody came and helped them and how important that was. And now with compassion, they want to go. No, they're not under duress pushed. It's not the thing to do. It's not a religious thing. No, they want to go. And they have a heart to help these people. Who better to reach those with cancer than those who were in the same boat themselves but were delivered and now they voluntarily go back? Who better to reach those in prison than those who themselves were in prison and in bondage, and by the mercy of God and the court and others, they were given a second chance, and now they make the best counselors because they know what's going on. Isn't that right? Now listen carefully. God knew that. Let me ask you, who better to send back to those who are hurting in this world than those who themselves were caught and hurting? But by the grace of God, he's given us a new eternity. Now he says, I want you to be a courier of my message. And boy, I know what they're going through. I know the things they're hurting with. I know their lonely days. And so with great compassion, does God say that's a religious thing, you got to do it? No, no. Well, that's a Christian thing. No, I want to be a part of what God is asking me to be a part of. And there's a great compassion. Who better to send back to this place than those who they themselves were there, but God gave us a new beginning, and now with compassion we can be couriers of his message. But here's the rub that we want to talk about today. Because there's two worlds that intersect on this shared earth, and only for a brief time, we have a tendency, though we've been born again, we have to remember that there's no dual citizenships. You give up one in order to receive the next. But because we're in this globe, on the spinning earth, we have a tendency to mix up definitions of common words that we both use. One of those words is the word love. Oh, we would love to people in the world to genericize it so it's no longer distinguishable anymore. And we get a little offended when it's a little too distinguished from another kind of love. But God is going to say that there is a distinguishable mark to those who are citizens and sojourners. And we want to clarify that today on this weekend. So I want you to see with me at the top of our notes what God says out of John 13 that is a distinguishable mark of the people of the kingdom of heaven. Let's read it right at the top, John 13, go. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, here it is, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples. How? If you have love for one another. Would you underline the words, even as I have loved you? Because you see, what God is saying is this, A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, how? Even as I have loved you. By this what? By this kind of love will all men know that you're my disciples. If you have this kind of love for one another. Love? No. A quality of love. It has to be distinguished from every other. This is the kind of love that will set you apart from everybody else. You see, not just love. Oh, there's all kinds of qualities of love. There's all kinds of levels of love. There's all kinds of them. But you have to be careful, because if we're not careful, you will and I will adopt a wrong kind of love and will think that's it. But a lesser kind of love that's being sold by the dozen, by the bushel here in this realm, we will take that, think that's good enough. But that kind of love, the wrong kind of love, a worldly love, it will not sustain a marriage. It will not sustain relationships. It won't sustain a church. It won't sustain friendships. It won't sustain anything. It'll break. And then we'll say, but I loved. No, you didn't. It was a lesser quality. What we want to find out today is the quality of love that God is saying for us to have. Love one another as what? Even as I have loved you. When I went to China, we stopped at this marketplace, and they were selling these, what we call knockoffs. You know what knockoffs are? They're fake of that which is super good stuff. Like, they were Gucci bags there, beautiful Gucci bags, like for $14, $10, and you know, they're hundreds of dollars. They have Oakley glasses for $4.95. They have Emporio Armani stuff, you know, for just pennies. Now, I like Montblanc pens, but they're like $120. So, but I bought five for $24. When I put them in my pocket, I looked like one of those service station managers, man. It was so cool. I had them all, you know. And these girls, they were buying these Gucci bags. And we know that they're knockoffs. But, you know, they took these home. And the problem was, before we got to the hotel, two of the girls, their straps already broke off their purse. And I laughed. I thought, good for you. Should have gotten Montblanc pens, man. None of them worked. Oh, they look good, but that's about it. But, oh, no. You know, it's funny how, you know, they'll run out real fast, you write three sentences, and that's it. And then you can't get new refills because the refills don't fit. And it's just, it was crazy. It's just crazy. But, you know, a lot of times what we don't realize is that there's lots of loves, but they're knockoff loves. But we paint them really nice. But it will not be that which will sustain a marriage or sustain a friendship. God says, by this will all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. But love one another even as I have loved you. Let's define this love that distinguishes you from every other group in the world. Would you write down number one? If that's true, then we have to love people as God loves us. Love people just like, not just love people, not just be humanitarian and benevolent, not be nice people. Love people as God loves us. Let's read what John 13 says. Go. Love one another even as I have loved. Ah, it's a special kind of love. Just like I love you. That's the kind of love that'll set you apart. No, not just love. That kind of love. It's a quality, not a knockoff, not a lesser value. It is a certain kind of distinguishable love. Not everybody has that. Love one another as I've loved you. See, the world's love is one of emotion and performance. It's kind of a conditional kind of love that says this: if you comply with me and do exactly as I tell you, I love you. But as soon as you don't, I'm going to pull that baby back. And that love turns to dislike. I call it a junior high love. You know how they are. One day, I love you, I love you. Next day, I hate you, I hate you. Isn't that right? You think, whoa, what? How come it just flipped like that? Well, it's a different kind of love that's flippable. Well, whatever, I don't know. But it changes. And that's called a conditional love. I'll love you, I will give you my love if you do what I tell you to. And if you don't, then I'm not going to give it to you. Well, what God is saying is that's not the kind of love. You love one another even as I loved you. Well, if I'm going to love people with the way that God loves me, what must I do? Where does that love come from? Would you write down in that first bullet? It comes from knowing Jesus. Would you write that down? Because you see, if I'm going to love people like he loves me, the first thing I got to do is I got to know his love. His love that comes to me regardless of the conditions. When I'm the good, the bad, the ugly, he loves me still. Even when I reject his love, listen carefully. God says this, I choose to love you, and your response to my love will not determine the continuance of it. I continue. I reject it. Okay. I love you still. I don't want it. It's okay. I love you still. It is a different kind of love. It is a precious love. And the more you know Jesus and his love, then you go, that's it. Because you see, if I don't know him very well, then my love will be commensurate to that. If I think, well, you know, God loves me, that's good enough, then that's the depth of the love that I'll have one for another. If I think that God is condemning or God is checking you out and evaluating, then that's the same kind of love I'll have for everybody else. I'll be checking you out, I'll evaluate you. You're not good enough. You got to do the change that. How do you get that way? From misdefining God's love. But the Bible says, love one another as I've loved you. Whenever I sense people having a condemning kind of love or a very edgy kind of love or evaluative love, I know that they don't know him very well yet. Doesn't matter if you've been in the church 50 years. Love one another as I have loved you. And the more you understand that, the better. You miss that up. You lose your identity. You think you're being Christian, but we're off. We mess up. And one of the things that's dangerous about sometimes if we misdefine words is we lose our identity and who we are. And we love with the wrong kind of love. And we wonder what's going wrong. Remember a story about these people that were losing their identity and losing who they were. And they all gathered together in a place called a mental hospital. And there's a Portuguese guy and he was saying every day, you know, he's changed who he is. Today he said, I'm Napoleon. Today I'm Napoleon. The next day I'm Einstein. And this Pake guy was there going, what? You just keep changing all the time. And then when he said, he came to the Pake guy and he said, I am the smartest person in the world today. And the Pake guy goes, get away, you're so dumb. No, I'm a genius. And the Pake guy said, who told you that? He said, God did. Pake said, I said no such thing. When you mess things up, everything goes bad. And what God is saying here is if you start misdefining things, you will lose who you are. And you'll think you're something when you ain't. And God is saying, love one another as I have loved you. Well, how do I love people like that? Then get to know my love. Get to know who I am. And the more you know Jesus, the more you know his love, the more you will love others with the same depth. Jesus went to a Pharisee's house. His name was Simon, not Simon Peter. While he was there having, cookies and punch or something, this lady with a questionable reputation, being an immoral woman, somehow had a contact with Jesus, and the Lord must have given her great forgiveness and hope, because the story says that she comes into Simon's house and kneels down before the Lord and begins to weep, understanding the forgiveness that was given to her. Her tears drip down off of her cheeks and onto his feet. We don't know if it was just a bit embarrassment or whatever, but she doesn't have a towel. She takes her hair and wipes her tears off his feet. Simon walks to the side and says to himself, what kind of prophet is Jesus? Because if Jesus were a prophet, he'd know the reputation of this woman and he wouldn't even have let her touch him. What kind of prophet does he think he is? Now Jesus, discerning what was going on, said, Simon, come over here. Simon walked over. Yes. He said, I want to ask you a question. Sure. Let me tell you a story. There were two guys that owed this bank. One owed $500,000 and the other $50. Both owed this bank, but neither of them could pay. So instead of pressing charges, which the bank wanted to, the owner comes and chooses to forgive them both. The guy that owed 50, the guy that owed 500,000. Now, when they were both given a clean bill, paid in full, Simon, which one do you think would appreciate it more and love the owner more? The guy that was forgiven $50 or the guy that was forgiven 500,000? Simon said, well, obviously the guy that was forgiven 500,000. He said, you know, when I came into your house, you didn't give me any water for my feet. You didn't give me a towel. But you know, this lady here has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with my hair. And then he said this, let's read the scripture under that bullet there. Go. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, you know what he's saying? This lady's been forgiven $500,000. She knows it. She's impacted by the forgiveness of God. And the more you understand God's love, the deeper, the greater the depth of your love. But if you think not much, you'll have not much. For he who's been forgiven much loves much. Forgiven little loves little. You see, if the Bible is saying to love one another even as I loved you, then I need to know the kind of love that he has for me. Because not only does it increase the depth of my love, would you write down in the next bullet, it also makes us more like him. There is a transforming power about his love. The more you understand his love, the more you're transformed. You see, if you don't know God's love, I'm going to be just like the world. But the more I understand his love and how much he's transformed me and given me eternal life, it makes me different. There's something about love. The Bible says that whatever you love the most, you become more like it. Whatever you love, you become like. So if you just love, you know, like black belt theater, you know, the Chinese, if you just love that kind of stuff, you just start to become like it. Someone gives you trouble, right, at work. It just comes out. Isn't that right? You think, whoa, what is going on with me? That's just how we are. If you look at those people who love surfing. After a while, they dress like surfers. They have surf shorts. They have surf hair. They smell like, you know, surf wax. They look like a surfboard. Or people that love tennis, they read tennis magazines. They start talking like tennis people, you know, and they look like a tennis ball after a while. Everything changes. Everything. Whatever you love, you become like. That's why I tell my wife, don't love our dog too much. No. Joke. She's sitting over here. Make sure you laugh a lot when you ha, 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 joke, ha, 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 joke. But it's true. You go to dog shows, you know, you can see like this long poodle dog and the owner does the same thing. Yeah, whoa, that's scary. That's true. You know, they just kind of look like each other. But that's why the Bible says, whatever you love, make sure you be careful because that has a creative affinity to it. Whatever you love, you start to become like, you talk like, you look like, you act like, because you love. That's why when a religious leader came to Jesus and they would call him teacher, he said, teacher, if you could distill all the commandments of the Bible down to one, what's the greatest commandment of all? What's the most important one of all? Let's read what it says here in Matthew 22. Go. Teacher, he asked, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled A Distinguishing Mark by Pastor Wayne Cordero. We'll bring you the conclusion of this message on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for joining us for Words of New Hope. For Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
One of the things I love about Hula is that its significance does not solely lie in what you see on the surface. Rather, there's a deeper meaning in what each hula represents. Each movement conveys a special message. It's like your life. Whether you realize it or not, your words and your actions carry significance. What you choose to do or not to do, what you choose to say or not to say, and even who you choose to spend time with carries meaning. You are significant. Today, choose to use that significance for good. It's not as hard as you think. It all begins with one small, selfless action. And when you do, you'll help others remember that even today, hope is alive.
Discover hope this weekend at New Hope Oahu. For more information, visit enewhope.org.